what I believe is that demons are present in the world. The name that's often used for the head of the demons is Lucifer. Well, he's called the Prince of Liars. It's no problem to make him like you're asking for your Aunt Jean. What does it hurt for him to say he's your Aunt Jean? When you open yourself up to spirit, are you opening yourself up to demons?
I went and interviewed the animal control officer and found to my surprise that this county official possessed a manila file folder that he had labeled werewolf. Now that's news when you have a county official with a file folder marked werewolf.
That I have investigated since I was director of special projects at the CBS station in Denver about the worldwide animal mutilation deaths, and it was quite a paradigm shift for me then to sit and listen to sheriffs telling me that we weren't dealing with satanic cults, we weren't dealing with predators, we were dealing with something from outer space.
When I get a communication, it's just like this message, like a message to come into my mind, you know, and say, we're here. They say, we, they never, I don't hear, they don't say, I'm here, and I've never heard that back. It's always, we're here. And then I'll pick up my camera and go out and wherever they are and start filming.
The sheep rancher up in Lincoln County found that during a severe thunderstorm, he heard a muffled explosion that was different from the rest of the thunderclaps. The next day, he went out to check his fence and his sheep. He found the wreckage.
And at age four, I noticed an entity in my room. They're about 5 foot tall, pure white with large round eyes, and I just cannot figure out for life me what it is.
Welcome to the Paranormal Cafe. I'm your host, Rob Simcox, coming to you from a little wet downtown Westchester. But a good place to be right now. I'm a little charged up tonight. You know, things are looking up as musical. So you may hear it in my voice tonight, and you know me, I do a bad job at hiding my feelings here on the station and the show. So you guys get the benefit tonight. You know, I try not to let. When I'm down in the dumps or I got like a bad day, I try not to let that affect me too much, you know, especially when you guys listen, because, you know, you guys are here to listen to the show, and you don't need to have me leaning on you. But today, gonna have some fun tonight. We have an interview up at 8 o'clock. I'm really looking forward to this gentleman's name is Drew Maris, M-A-R-A-S, and he's written a book called To 2012 and Beyond, a book about 2012 and beyond. So it's called Open Your Eyes to 2012 and Beyond. Ah, I love this music. I could listen to this like all day. This is it. This is my life. Gotten a lot of emails. Thank you very much for people sending in their emails. I greatly appreciate it. People sending in their emails in support of me for a conversation I had on the air a couple weeks ago, which still seems to be the popular topic to talk about. So I don't mind talking about it. I, you know, if people want to call in tonight and talk about it, I'll talk about it. But I was hoping to get on to some other things. There's a gentleman, like I said, Drew Maris, up at the top of the hour, going to be at the 8 o'clock hour, is going to talk to us about his book, Open Your Eyes to 2012 and Beyond. This ought to be interesting. Everybody's heard about the Mayan calendar and this, that, and the other. And, you know, I mean, we even have, like, May 21st, 2011. Now, I have gone out of my way, and I, you know, I shouldn't say that because it sounds like I've inconvenienced myself, which I kind of have in a way. But I went the above and beyond to get somebody on to talk about May 21st, 2011, which is this Saturday, okay? Because supposedly we're going to be entering a rapture, okay, which I, you know, it's in the Bible and everything. Well, the rapture's in the Bible. I didn't see the date May 21st, 2011. So I went out of my way to try to get an interview with somebody that would talk about it. Hopefully the person that researched it, somebody that knows about it, somebody that would talk about it. Nobody wants to come on here and talk about it. Neither of me. Nobody wants to talk about it. I contacted at least four or five places. The first one being Family Radio, because they're putting up all these billboards everywhere, and you guys have seen them. You drive down 95, and you know, I-95, the most used highway in America. You see these billboards of May 21st, 2011, rapture, you know, it's the end of the world. Which, okay, if you believe that, that's cool. I want to talk to you. And I'm not going to bash people much. I mean, no, I'm not. I shouldn't say that. No, I won't bash people. I just want to understand it. I really do. I find it so intriguing that somehow somebody was able to translate from the Bible May 21st, 2011, even though I find it interesting that the Mayan calendar ends on December 21st, 2012. You know, there's a little bit of a tie in there. So apparently, and, you know, I did a very little bit of reading on it because I don't want to know everything going into an interview. I just don't. I think it makes a poor interview, and it just wrecks everything. But apparently, the October 21st is supposed to be the end. End all, be all. The earth gets singed or turned into a new wonderland, and the meek shall inherit the earth. I don't know anything about it. I tried to get the interview for tonight. I called places all over the country, even called one locally here. Nobody will talk to me about it. So what that means is you poor bastards that are listening right now, you ain't going to hear, you ain't going to get the warning. You're not going to, you just, you guys don't get the warning, okay? That billboard was it. And if you live in a non-metropolitan area and didn't see a billboard, there's like thousands of them, and you didn't see a billboard, well then tough. You people are going to get raptured. That means if like somebody, I'm waiting, because on Saturday, if I'm calling somebody and they don't return my phone call, that's it. The rapture's on. The rapture is on. I'm telling you. If somebody, that's it. There's no other explanation. I call you and your answer machine gets, I get your answer machine. That's it. You're in the rapture and I know it. I missed it. So, I'm really looking for, there's a small part of me that wants it to be true. Because I want to see what happens, you know. You know it's going to be better than any movie. And don't be driving on this Saturday, okay? Just in case you're one of the sorry, somber dogs that stays here. You're driving down the street. All of a sudden, countless amounts of cars are just without a driver, without passengers, nobody. They're doing 60 miles an hour, and they're going to be gone. It's going to be mayhem. I'm telling you. Think about this for a second. Planes falling out of the skies because people just go on. Now, in order for me to see it, I would have to have missed the boat. Okay, so I know there's some amount of grief there. But for the first 10 minutes, it's going to be interesting. You know, first 10 seconds, it's going to be interesting. You know, oh, what time is it? Oh, 5 seconds of 12, noon. Hey, where'd that Buick come from? Oh, my God, did you see that? Oh, the building's on fire. That police officer is gone. What happened there? Where's my kid? Oh, my God, where's my wife? Woo! Somebody was cheering, you know that one, right? Somebody's wife. Hey, where'd my husband go? Woo, I'm free. You know? But let's think about that for a second. Now, the people that are calling for this are saying that this is going to happen. I shouldn't say calling for it, but predicting this, which there has been doomsday predictions before. Plenty of them, okay? Including the guy that made this prediction apparently did one back in, what, 97? And I don't think anything ever came of it. I could be wrong, but I can't ask them. I can't talk to them because they're not on the phone. If you want to talk to me about this, I'd love to talk to you. 610-701-WCHE.
610-701-9243.
I'm curious about it. I would love to see this. You know what I mean? But if I see it, I know I missed the boat. It's kind of like saying, I want to see the Titanic sink, but you gotta get on the boat to see it sink. You know? And I'm a guy, you know, I'm a middle-aged guy. There's no chance of me getting a lifeboat, okay? Women and children first. Oh man, I always lose this lottery. I always lose. What is up with that? Oh, we hit an iceberg. Hey, we only got a couple lifeboats. What do you mean we only got a couple lifeboats? Well, we can only take about half of the ship. Okay, women and children first. Who made up that rule? Where did that rule come from? Oh, man, lifeboats. Oh, man, it's always something. Okay, right now we're boarding A through R. So if your last name starts between A through R, you can get on lifeboats. We'll start boarding S through Z. I'm always something always stops me. Oh, damn. Missed the boat. But, come on, man. Wouldn't you admit it? Wouldn't you want to see it for like 5-10 minutes? Of course, after the 10 minutes is over, pretty much everything's in ruin. Okay, and it's hell on earth. But come on, that first 5-10 minutes, that's like life without people on the History Channel. Buildings crashing and stuff like that. I shouldn't say that because it kind of did happen on 9/11. You know, we had these huge skyscrapers fall to the ground. You know, my butt was safe outside of Philadelphia. It wasn't in New York City. I almost ended up in New York City on that day. It's really strange how that worked out. But I could end up in New York City that day. Could have been in the World Trade Center that day, theoretically, because that happened to be 9/11 happened to be an anniversary for me. So, I could end up in 9/11/2001 in New York City, and we're talking about going to New York City that day. Very interesting, very interesting. But let me know about that. Is the rapture something you're worried about? Are you planning around Saturday? How do you plan around that? Even if you stay home, it could be problems. Even if you stay home. Because you know me. I already told you. First indication, rapture. Okay, that's the first thing I'm blaming on Saturday. Go out to get the mail, no mail. Rapture, that's it. I'm game. You ain't got to convince me anymore. 610-701-WCHE. 610-701-9243. We'll get you on the air here on the Paranormal Cafe. We have an interview up at 8 o'clock, so I'm interested, have you seen those billboards, and have you done any searching into it? I want to see if people actually went to the websites that were advertised on there. And the other question I have is, did the services that were getting those billboards, have they paid for June? Did they pay for June, July, August? No, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being serious. When you rent a billboard, you usually can't get it for 1 month at a time. You usually have to go for 6 to 12 months, from what I understand. Maybe longer, depending on the type of billboard. Did they rent, like, June, July, August? Or did they do the whole year? In December, we're going to go and pass that thing going, that thing was right, or are we going to pass going, I'm just curious. I tried to get somebody on to talk about it. Nobody knows how to pick up a phone all of a sudden. Nobody knows how to return an email. There's certain subjects, and this is one of them, where no one wants to come on the radio and talk about it. They think everybody's going to get bashed, maybe. I just find it interesting, and I find it interesting that people will talk about it. Be more interested. Hey, the world's going to end on Saturday. I'm sure you'd like to know. Right? Okay. That's all we could talk about it. Another goofy subject, and I say goofy because I don't get it. completely, and I've invited countless amount of people on the show, and it's been nothing but weird, is remote viewing. Don't even get me started about remote viewing, okay? I'm interested as all get out, just like the next person, okay? I've invited people. It gets goofy every time I schedule somebody for this show for remote viewing. Goofy. I'm serious. I schedule people. They don't come on. We'll be there. Oh, what? That's 8 o'clock at night. Yeah, we'll be there. I try to get them on the phone. Next thing I know, oh, man, we must have dropped that phone call. Oh, man. Oh, that's terrible. Or it'll be like, hi, this is Rob Simgar at the Paranormal Cafe. Tonight we're talking about remote viewing. Let's go to the call on the line. You're up on the Paranormal Cafe. Oh, man. That's terrible. Disappearing act. So that's another subject I can't seem to get anybody to talk about on the radio. And I've gone to the biggest one supposedly in the biz. Okay? It always ends up being this. Yeah, let's see if we can get him on the line.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
Man,
thank you.
That's terrible. That's horrible. That's the way it is, I'm telling you. Remote viewing. It's goofy. I don't understand why that subject. I can talk about anything else. I could talk about exploding watermelons and everything like that. I get somebody talking about everything. But that subject, for some reason, people get goofy on. Totally mental. I'm not talking about the callers. I'm talking about the guests. Get goofy. But we have a good guest up for tonight. Open your eyes to 2012 and beyond. Author Drew Marish going to be with us. Hey, there's a couple of stories I want to get to. There's one I posted on my Facebook page, and I was hoping people would comment on it. I don't think they have yet. So everybody has heard of Jack the Ripper. That's kind of like saying, have you watched The Wizard of Oz? Everybody knows what you're talking about. Okay, here's a story that comes to us from the Telegraph, and it's real interesting. Go online and take a look at it. Four thick ledgers compiled by special branch officers have been kept under lock and key since the Whitechapel murders in 1888. Trevor Marriott, a Ripper investigator and former murder squad detective, has spent 3 years attempting to obtain uncensored versions of the documents, but he has been repeatedly refused because the ledgers contain the identities of police informants, and the Metropolitan Police insist that revealing the information could compromise their attempts to gather information from Supergrasses and other modern-day informants. Yeah, you heard me right. 1888, there's still don't release information. Last week, Mr. Marriott took Scotland Yard to a tribunal in a last-ditch attempt to seize the journals containing 36,000 entries, which he believes contain evidence which could finally unmask the world's most famous serial killer. The legal case has cost taxpayers thousands of pounds and has even involved a senior Scotland Yard official. Officer, I should say, giving evidence anonymously from behind a screen. So it's almost like confession he went to. What are your sins, my son? I want to talk about Jack the Ripper. Please do so. The ledgers provide details of the police's dealings with thousands of informants from 1888 to 1912, including some who provided information during the original Ripper investigation. A sample of about 40 pages from the Scotland Yard ledgers were released to last week's tribunal, but with the names and informants, other key details blacked out. According to Mr. Marriott, the files contain the names of at least four new suspects, as well as other pieces of evidence. He said, I believe this is the very last chance that we may have to solve the murder, the mystery of Jack the Ripper. To have any possibility of getting near the truth about these horrific crimes, we must see what these ledgers contain. It may be that within them we find the final piece of the jigsaw that would unlock the mystery and lead us to the identity of a killer or killers, albeit 123 years too late. Jack the Ripper slaughtered at least five women between August and November 1888 in the slums of Whitechapel, East London. But various experts have claimed other murders may have been committed by the killer on earlier and later dates. So, Scotland Yard's keeping, wants to keep all these files, they're fighting tooth and nail, it sounds like. Well, I know at least five people died, and these are horrible murders. If you see the pictures, which are available online all over the place, you can see them. Here's my angle on it. I think they're not keeping it. I don't think that's the reason they're keeping it quiet or keeping those files. I think what it'll do, if it does point to one person, it's going to take the mystique away. And you know what? There is tourism in this. There is. I mean, I know it's kind of weird, but it. People want to see where Jack the Ripper walked. They want to see where the victims were, even though some of these places don't exist anymore or have been torn down or ripped up or built over, that type of thing. They still want to walk the streets of Whitechapel. And I'm sure Whitechapel's getting money from it. Tourism. Think about it. People go to the Hollywood and they do those death tours where, you know, River Phoenix died in the street of the sniper or the Viper Room. I'm going to say the sniper room. Yeah, he died on the street because he overdosed on drugs. And this is where John Belushi died. And this is where such and such died. And this is where people go on them tours. They do. There's ghost tours. It happens all the time. Jersey had had something going on. I don't know if this is a story that deals with the paranormal or something more normal. Bernard's officials and experts in one New Jersey town are scratching their heads over a mysterious hole that appeared in a yard last week. For now, it appears a small crater that splayed debris across a 100-foot area wasn't caused by a meteorite. Beyond that, it's a mystery. Quote, it's just really, really weird, said Jerry Vinsky, director of nearby Rotarian Valley Community College's planetarium, who conducted tests on the site. We dug around and couldn't find anything. We used metal detectors because all meteors have metal in them. We couldn't find anything, large or small. I thought meteors could be like the size of a grain of sand, too, by the time they burn up and get into the atmosphere. Even a grain of sand traveling fast is going to create some damage. Bernard Township Police Captain Edward Burns said whatever hit the front yard in the Basking Ridge section left a crater about 18 inches deep and roughly the size of a coffee table. Rocks and soil was scattered around the yard and driveway. A state police bomb squad ruled out explosives, Burns said. According to Burns, no one in the neighborhood heard or saw anything at the time of the May 6th incident. The homeowner called police upon arriving home. The weather was clear. There were no reports of lightning strikes. Nobody reported seeing anything, Burns said. I've never seen anything like this in 23 years. They show a picture of it, and it basically looks like somebody dug up a bunch of dirt, threw it all over the place. It does look like an impact. But you know what? I don't know that I'd rule out an explosion here. You could put some explosives in the ground and really detonate it and throw some, you know, don't dig it too deep, and blow, you know, dirt everywhere. Vinsky said that the hole could have been caused by an object falling from a plane. He said if the object was a meteorite, the impact would have been significant and would have been felt nearby. When you see meteor showers in the upper atmosphere, they're traveling 50 miles a second, he said. Even if it's slowing down through the atmosphere, you're still going to have a sonic boom and would have left something behind. It wouldn't have completely disintegrated. I don't know. But apparently that's all over the news, so real interesting. Stephen Hawking's back in the news. This guy's publicist must be working overtime. Finally, Stephen Hawking shows his true colors. Finally, because he's written all these books, you know, Everything in a Nutshell, blah, 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 blah. Okay. You know who Stephen Hawking is. This is a guy who's, the theorist, cosmologist. He's, you know, the guy in the wheelchair who's paralyzed for life. Okay. He's been on The Simpsons, of all things. Finally, he's shown his true colors. And it's about time because, you know, the guy, I guess he was out of the news too long and people got bored of him. A belief that heaven or an afterlife awaits us is a fairy story for people afraid of death, Stephen Hawking has said. In a dismissal that underlines his firm rejection of religious comforts, Britain's most eminent scientist said there was nothing beyond the moment when the brain flickers for the final time. Hawking, who was diagnosed with motor neuron disease at the age of 21, shares his thoughts on death, human purpose, and our chance existence in an exclusive interview with The Guardian today. The incurable illness was expected to kill Hawking within a few years of the symptoms arising, an outlook that has turned the young scientist to Wagner, but ultimately led him to enjoy life more. He has said, despite the cloud hanging over his future, quote, he is quoted here, I have lived with the prospect of an early death for the last 49 years. I'm not afraid of death, but I'm in no hurry to die. I have so much I want to do first, he said. I regard the brain as a computer which will stop working when its components fail. There is no heaven or afterlife for broken down computers. That's a fairy story for people afraid of the dark, he added. Interesting. He didn't say anything, he didn't talk about that years ago when he like apparently visited the Pope. This guy visits the Pope, and the Pope, you know, addresses, you know, has some concerns for him. He doesn't say anything. It's a fairy story. For a guy that wants evidence, you know, he takes evidence and comprises a theory. He hasn't found any evidence. Okay. But he hasn't found any evidence that there isn't. It's neither one nor the other. If you don't find evidence for it, how do you find evidence against it? I don't get that. Hawking's latest comments go beyond those laid out in his 2010 book, The Grand Design. Ah, see why? See, this is why these interviews are done. They're selling books. Okay. Which I don't have a problem with, but this is why he's being controversial. He's trying to stick you with pins and needles in a last-ditch attempt to buy his latest book. Okay, it's starting to become clear to me, Mr. Hawking. In which he asserted that there is no need for a creator to explain the existence of the universe. The book provided a backlash from some religious leaders, including the chief rabbi, Lord Sacks, who accused Hawking of committing a elementary fallacy of logic. The 69-year-old physicist fell seriously ill after a lecture tour in the U.S. in 2009, and he was taken to Addenbrooke's Hospital in an episode that sparked grave concerns for his health. He has since returned to his Cambridge department as director of research. The physicist's remarks drew a stark line between the use of God as a metaphor and the belief in an omniscient creator whose hands guide the workings of the cosmos. In his best-selling, here it is, here is the book that I was talking about. In his best-selling 1988 book, A Brief History of Time, Hawking drew on the device so beloved of Einstein when he described what it would mean for scientists to develop a theory of everything, a set of equations that described every particle and force in the entire universe. It would be the ultimate triumph of human reason, for then we should know the mind of God, he wrote. Wasn't that like a playoff of a quote from Einstein? God doesn't throw dice. I thought that sounds like a playoff of an Einstein quote. I don't have a quote on hand. Okay, I mentioned this earlier. Pretty interesting story. Farmers in eastern China have been left perplexed after their watermelons began to explode one by one. You heard me. They explode one by one. I don't know what to say about that. An investigation by state media found farms in Jiangsu province were losing acres of fruit because of the problem. Acres! They're just exploding! The overuse of a chemical that helps fruit grow faster was blamed in one report by China Central Television, but agriculture experts were unable to explain why chemical-free melons were also exploding. They cited the weather and abnormal size of the melon as factors. China Central Television said farmers were overspraying their crops with the growth promoter, hoping they could get their fruit to market ahead of the peak season and increase their profits. According to the Xinhua news agency, 20 farmers and village in Jiangsu province planted imported seeds from Japan, with 10 households saying their watermelons began exploding last month. That's what you do. If you're the Japanese, you want to get rid of the Chinese, you just sell seeds that'll make exploding watermelons. Could you see that in, like, Farmville or something like that? Yes, I want to plant exploding melons, please. Farmer Ling Zhou Maozhu told Xinhua that more than two-thirds of his crop had blown up. I don't know what happened. They just blown up. They gone. He said he'd use the chemicals to boost their growth on May 6th. May 6th, and the following day, more than 180 melons exploded. Mr. Liu was reported to be the only farmer from the 10 households who used the chemicals. Others who had been farming watermelons for 20 years couldn't understand why the fruit has exploded when they had not used any chemicals. Agricultural experts investigating the incident were unable to offer an explanation. So we got exploding watermelons. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But if you got exploding watermelons, doesn't that tell you something? Maybe we're doing something? Maybe we're adding stuff? We're going extreme? Getting too extreme with stuff. I don't know. What we're going to do is we're going to take a little break. When we come back here, we're going to have a couple more stories. And at the top of the hour, we have a gentleman by the name of Drew Maris coming up on the Paranormal Cafe. If you want to give us a call, 610-701-WCHE, 610-701-9243.
Go tell that Mary, you play me out the music, buddy. I'm a lot of fun, old baby.
You're listening to the Paranormal Cafe. You ever watch Predator when they're on the helicopter and they're playing this with Jesse Ventura? That reminds me of the Bin Laden invasion. SEAL Team 6, baby.
Where do your donations to the Salvation Army go? Wherever hope is the only thing left. Wherever a life can be turned right side up. Wherever good can overcome. In your community and throughout the world, in unexpected emergencies and in everyday survival, thanks to your contributions, the Salvation Army is doing the most good. Donate today at SalvationArmyUSA.org.
Imagine a world without children, a world without their smiles or their laughter, a world where children don't play or sing or dream or imagine.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, we can't imagine a world without children. That's why we're working every day to find cures for diseases that strike down children everywhere. Diseases like cancer, pediatric AIDS, and sickle cell. And we won't stop until every child is cured and every disease is defeated. Because we can't imagine a world without children. Can you?
Finding cures, saving children. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. To learn how you can help, log on to our website, stjude.org.
My name is Robbie. I'm also known as Gutwrench. And when I'm not listening to Rob Simcox on the Paranormal Cafe, I'm hosting my own internet radio talk show called The Gut and Bone Show on TenacityRadio.com. Tune in every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I will share with you guests and topics that tend to be somewhat obscured from everyday people like you and me. Every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on TenacityRadio.com. Real entertainment. No excuses.
Join us on Fridays at the Paranormal Cafe. Call us at 610-701-WCHE. That's 610-701-9243. 6 p.m. Eastern U.S. Time. Or send us an email, cafe@juno.com. Worldwide at WCHE1520.com. You're dining with Kalai and Rob, where strange meets unusual, at the Paranormal Cafe. What's your poison?
What's your poison is right. Very cool. The info there was a little outdated. That's when we were on Friday nights, and it has not been corrected, of course. So, but it's okay. Kalai's got a golden voice there, and I hope she's doing well, and she's welcome back at any time, and I hope she knows that. So, looking forward to it, looking forward to it. You're listening to the Paranormal Cafe. It's top of the hour. We have an interview with Drew Maris. Look at reading another story here. Drew Maris is up, going to be talking about his book. Now, that's, you know, interesting the way it works out with that. He's got a book out that... Really kind of tickles the interest, and a lot of people are interested in this kind of stuff. So the book is called Open Your Eyes to 2012 and Beyond, and he's going to be here at the top of the hour talking with us about the book. So I'm really looking forward to that conversation. Really cool, really interesting, and I'm looking forward to having him on board. Hey, there's a couple of stories. I like to do stupid news every now and then, and I guess I shouldn't even say it's stupid news, but people do stuff to be, you know, out of the ordinary. But here's the thing. They do the same thing to be out of the ordinary. They don't do something original. They do something that everybody else is doing. Therefore, they're not doing something out of the ordinary anymore. I never even heard of this before now. This comes to me from the BBC News. Australian police say a man who plunged to his death from a seventh floor balcony on Sunday was participating in internet craze of, quote, planking. That's right, planking, like a plank of wood. Planking involves someone lying flat on their stomach in an unusual and sometimes dangerous situations and posting photographs on social media websites. Police said the dead man in his 20s fell from a balcony railing in Brisbane while a friend photographed him. The man's name has not been released, pending notification of his family. The craze has gone viral in recent weeks. Viral! The craze! With one Facebook page boasting 90,000 fans. This is basically stiffening your body up and taking pictures of you in weird positions. Hundreds of photos of people lying on chimneys, escalators, camels, and other objects. Quote, this morning we have seen a young man take this activity a step further and attempt to plank on a balcony, said Queensland Police Deputy Commissioner Ross Burnett. Quote, unfortunately he has tragically fallen to his death. Queensland Police last week warned plankers of the dangers of the activity after a man was caught allegedly planking on a police car. Okay, come on. Okay. This is where I have no problem with police just smacking somebody in the back of the head. Just, what are you, stupid? Planking on a police car. Come on, dude. You're asking for trouble. Ask. I'm not for police abuse, and there's plenty of it out there. But you're going to plank on a police car. You deserve to get your butt kicked by the police. At least smack in the back of the head. You know, get out of here, you idiot. The 20-year-old was charged with being on police equipment without lawful excuse. That's where they need to just make up a charge of, being stupid. I mean, really, you decide you're going to go on a car to plank, and it happens to be, oh, it just happens to be a police car. I don't know. That should be the charge, to me.
Flag on the play, penalty, offense, number 89, being stupid, 15 yards.
I'm all for it, ref. Being stupid. Sergeant Matthew Russell, come on, man. That wasn't even like a cool crime. I mean, a cool crime is like something you say, hey, at least the guy tried it. You know what I mean? Planking, you risked it to look stiff on that car. Are you stupid? Sergeant Matthew Russell of Gladstone Police told the Brisbane Courier-Mail newspaper that the planking could be dangerous, and practitioners may find themselves charged with unauthorized high-risk activity. So it's unauthorized and it's high-risk activity. I think it's, you know, we got rid of one stupid person. I hate to say it that way, but we got rid of one stupid person. You fell 20 floors. I'm sorry, seven floors. He's in his 20s and he fell seven floors. Okay. While we appreciate the activity is lighthearted fun, putting yourself and others at risk and breaking the law will not be tolerated, he said. Mr. Barnett said the death on Sunday is what we've been fearing. No, they aren't. They're like, hey, that doofus died doing something stupid. It's not even like he was like bungee jumping or something like that, you know, something exciting. He planked. Come on, dude. Come on, man. If you die, I want to be like the guy that like jumped out of a plane, caught fire, and plunged to his death. Okay, that's kind of cool. You're like a human fireball. You know, oh, I fell off a balcony because he was trying to be stiff. Well, you're going to be stiff, all right. You're going to be stiff forever. As planking gains popularity, there may be more injuries and potentially further deaths, he said. So, okay, stupid news. Now, this story, this next story is really far too important, far too serious. And, you know, I don't know that we can actually take it lightheartedly, so... An Ohio 7th grader was suspended last week for doing arguably the most predictable thing a 13-year-old boy could do for a laugh on the school bus. He cut the cheese. Middle school students Anthony Nichols and another boy lost their bus privileges on Friday for their stinky stunt, which prompted the customary rousing of laughter and the lowering of windows. According to the Columbus Dispatch, administrators ruled that the flatulence was in violation of the school's code of conduct. But if you ask Nichols' parents, the decision reeks of poor judgment. It's very laughable, that's what it is, said Anthony's father, James Nichols. He said he spoke with the school's vice principal, Daniel Sinooki, who suggested my son should hold the gas on this hour-long bus ride. For a concerned parent, however, that answer just doesn't cut it. When it happens, it just happens, he said. It's not intentional. Has he ever been 13? Has he ever been 13? Does this guy ever been 13 and been cool? but perhaps it is. According to the bus driver and school officials, the 13-year-old Nichols and his partner in crime are repeat offenders with a history of passing gas on the school bus. They've done it before. They'll do it again. Still, for the boy's mother, Christina Kazura, who has suffered from gastrointestinal issues herself, the incident hits a little too close to home. I take great offense to passing gas being cause for suspension and marked as an obscene gesture, Kazura wrote to the Dispatch. This from Ohio. Chaos reigns on the school bus. Come on, man. You got to be kidding me. That's news. A kid busts butt on it. A kid busts his butt on a school bus. Ooh, we gotta suspend him. Come on, man. it's obviously funny. I'm in Pennsylvania talking about it way after the fact, and it's still funny. Okay. That's what we call news. Yeah. We suspend the kid. That's just perfect for it. I love that analogy. Yeah, let's suspend the kid. Welcome to the Paranormal Cafe. You're up.
Hey, Rob. It's Brenda.
Hey, it's Brenda. How goes it?
I'm sitting in Pete's chair listening to your awesome rendition of the stupid news.
Of course, you called during the worst story.
No, I think that's the best story. I think we should all be talking about gas. I mean, everybody has it, right?
Apparently, I'm going to be suspended after the show.
Oh, my gosh. I would be putting time out all day long. I mean, the healthier we eat, right?
Yeah.
The less synthetic, the more organic we're all eating, hopefully better food, so we're all gassy.
Exactly. And you know, okay, he's 13 years old. He probably didn't do it discreetly. He probably stood on his seat, bent over in somebody's face, and did something obscene. Is it enough to suspend it? What if your kid got suspended for that?
I would be high-fiving him. Like, way to own it. Way to make it happen so that your belly wasn't going to hurt you and restrict all sort of your, you know, you probably can't even focus unless you're letting it loose. I mean, you know, we teach over here that, you know, we don't say fart. We say gases,
mm-hmm.
or we say toot. So, I mean, you know, obviously we exercise a little bit of care.
Well,
but,
I have my own word for it.
What?
My word is, ugh.
Is that a word or is that an action?
I think it's actually an action, but
don't you have like a little button on your panel where you can like hit a gassy sort of sound to go with that story?
I was debating whether to do that or not. there is probably something here.
You don't have a whoopee cushion underneath your chair, Rob?
I don't. Yes, I do. That's what all that sound's been coming from.
Oh, my God. Now, what is this news from? This is from...
This is real news. Under AOL, it's called AOL Weird News. So they apparently AOL has a bunch of news, and you know they have a weird news department, but they do real news, too. So.
Right. That's fun. And he was suspended, like, sincerely. This is something that made headlines, and
yes.
And now you and I both are discussing it and talking about it, which is, I guess, news.
It's there. And it was so important to suspend the kid. You know the kid. Come on. How many times? I was a 13-year-old kid. I prayed for gas in school at a certain point. You know, I was like, oh, I'd like to just bust it right here, you know?
So that what, you would gain a reputation of being, like, cool? Like, why would you want to do that?
Well, there's like a, you know, if there's a teacher that's long-winded or they say something, you know, they say something like, and this class is the most important thing. Bam. You just like,
oh, my God. That's like, funny. No, I mean, you know, there are just moments in life that I guess you have to, but to be suspended, I mean, come on. We need to reprimand our kids for other foul things, like bullying, perhaps,
yeah.
You know, or something that's more, you know, substantial. I whatever. That's craziness. Okay. I can't see how that's going to go over at the dinner table. Son, there was a letter in your book bag, and you had gases, and you're now suspended, and I guess there's no TV or internet for you for the next week. I mean, and you're going to have to clean out the garage. I mean, I don't know what they would do.
How would you handle it?
Keep a straight face?
I know. You just can't. I mean, come on. I mean, it's one thing if they say to the kid, look, you know, don't stand on the seat. Don't announce it to everybody. Don't put the loudspeaker up their butt. You know, I'm envisioning like Bart Simpson here, okay? The kid's got gas. He lets it go. Kids giggle. Okay, but who reported this? It had
especially
to be
on the bus. I mean, I could see if it was in like a Catholic school assembly, or I don't even know. I don't even know if that even would warrant the suspension.
Yeah,
is that in the handbook? I'd be fighting that one if I was the parent.
The only place I would probably object, it's objectionable anywhere, but the only place I would object would probably be like the cafeteria. you know.
Right.
I don't want anything competing with the tacos I'm eating. You know what I mean?
Well, okay, so if this was Pete calling in, he would be saying, you know, Rob, when the gas hits the air, those are particles. That's a disease. That's a disease from your buttocks entering the air. And why do I want to have some stinky guys, you know, farts? That's why he doesn't go to the movies, because he doesn't want to be sitting in a chair with some stinky guy with tooting all night, and then he's going to – this is a whole nother other subject of why we don't wear our outdoor clothes in the home. You understand?
There's so much to Pete I do not know yet. So.
Then we get into the whole hygiene aspect, like, was this kid suspended? Because, you know, in our house, if that's basically sharing diseases. You know, and then my husband probably would be in an uproar. He would be like, your son farted on my kid, and now he has the fart disease, or whatever. Now he's sick with the headache. I don't know. I often wonder why Pete is so, you know, kind of about that. You know, my husband is, like, sincerely, we change into our, you know, my house clothes when we walk in the door, so that we don't then pass the gas onto, I guess, our sofa.
Now, I can figure out why I have not been invited over to Pete's very much.
That's just one reason. No.
That's one of the reasons.
No, I mean, we don't. Okay, so guests aren't supposed to walk in. You remove your shoes, of course.
Right.
And if, you know, you feel compelled, and we would totally welcome it, you could then walk over to the sink and wash your hands. And then I think he would like everyone to change, but at this point he's just, you know, we just sort of deal with that. But see, you'll notice Pete will only stand. He won't sit on our furniture with his outdoor clothes unless he's in his house clothes.
I could do the 3-hour show just on Pete. This is great.
I know. So, you know, this sort of stupid news could really kind of hit hard in my house now that I think about it, because if some kid was on the school bus and did that to Peter, Jack, or Arlie, I mean, there'd be some serious problems over here. We'd have hazmat. We would be like, not only would you be suspended, you know, because you did this to my kid, and we would be advocating it. We'd be like, no. Then we had to go and do medical, you know, shutdown in the house, and for that, you then owe us money. For the time and the management of the Lysol throughout the house.
You know, I don't mind. I didn't mind coming over. Yeah, Pete's like, oh, you got to take off your shoes and everything. Of course, you know, I'm a single guy. Okay, I got bad socks. I'm like, you know, I'd rather, you'd like to wear, like, the clean white ones, but you always forget them when you need them. You know what I mean?
Of course. But that's why Martha Stewart, you see, has little booties that you put on. And so, you know, when the workers come over here, not workers, not like we have like a team of workers, but let's say somebody's checking the heater, mm-hmm. you know, once a year, he'll offer the booties to them.
Yes.
So, you know, but that's, it makes no sense. And then so some people would come over with their slippers already on, walking across the grass to come into the house. And we're like, no, you see, because as Pete would say, you know, why do I want, you know, when you're sitting at the gas station, I mean, which is a good point, considering the tooting story. I mean, it is a good point. You're sharing germs and diseases and bringing them into your home.
Exactly.
That kid should be completely suspended now that I'm thinking about it.
He should be expelled. Forget him.
From our household protection? Oh, Lord, Rob.
The only problem I had coming to your house, you have a beautiful house, by the way, and I've visited your house, and the problem was not taking off my shoes, not all, but like Pete snuck me into a side room and deloused me. I don't think that's appropriate, okay? That powder is a bitch to get off, okay?
Oh, my gosh, that's a whole nother subject. I mean, talk about the schools and the kids coming home with, like, my, you know, in 16 years that Madison's been going to school, just recently about the lice.
Yeah.
It's like, what is going on? But I think you know how I feel.
Yeah. Yes.
About the conspiracy theory,
yes, yes.
Of the placement of the lice in our households and the bed bugs, and then now you got some kid tooting on the bus that's causing all kinds of situations. But I really feel like, you know, it's got to be, you know, with these weird super bugs, we've got to, somebody's placing them somewhere. Look at you giggling, because you know, we're like, where did that lice come from? It came from the government.
Trying to do a flash from the government. Lice.
Seriously, it's like an epidemic. It's like World War II? I don't understand it.
three.
Three. Was it three when the lice epidemic happened?
No, hold it. You're saying that the lice epidemic happened during World War II?
I don't know. I just know that that's where, when I'm reading in the school books,
really?
About the lice, I don't know if it's like being close to people, like not showering, or maybe we're showering too much. What is going on? Lice apparently likes dirty hair, by the way,
well,
not clean hair.
I found out the hard way. I had lice once in my life, and you say that, and all of a sudden people don't want to be your friend no more. I was like,
oh my gosh, you're making me scratch my head right now.
It was horrible. I had a kid over from school. A friend that came over, and, you know, it was nap time. I guess he napped. I was 8 years old. I slept over, fell asleep. Of course, we're kids. We don't know. We slept in the same bed. And, of course, I got lice from it. Well, my mom was mortified, like completely mortified. I couldn't go to school. I had to use the shampoo. You had to go get, like, special shampoo and everything like that. And my mom was totally mortified. So,
well, it's like a household thing nowadays. I mean, around the schools, you know, here in Delaware, I swear I've heard more about lice. And, you know, it's so Paul, you don't speak about it. I'm like, no, let's talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I have discussed this. I'm like, these are the things, you know, this kid tuning on the bus, these are things we need to speak about.
Yes.
It's an outrage, you know. Now, we're all worried and concerned about this kid and he's going to get expelled. But yet, when your child gets bit by another child at school, the school can't tell the parent's child who was bitten who bit the child. And then you get into this whole little thing about, like, talk about hygiene. It's like, okay, well, did your child who bit my child just get vaccinated? And then is that live vaccine now in my kid's bloodstream, or the opposite? My kid's not vaccinated, so then the other family doesn't know that, you know, potentially, you know, if you go by what people put the categories of, then their kid's contaminated. I mean, this world is coming to a lot of gassy things.
Exactly. Now, when you bite somebody, I mean, I've been bitten in school as a kid, but wouldn't a kid tell you who bit him?
Okay, so specifically in the pre-K, like when they're doing like the twos, like the toddler twos room,
right.
There's this like hush hush. It's like, okay, today your child was bitten, and you're like, oh, and you can see the bite mark. Like Peter Jack had a bite mark on the side of his face,
right?
And then it's like, oh, but we can't tell you. And we're like, well, what if this child was just adopted from China? Or, you know what I mean, it just came over 6 months ago, and who knows, whatever the contaminations are wherever in your own household or in another country,
right.
They will not tell you.
Right.
And so, you know, then we would, like, sequester Peter Jack and be like, who was it? Point to him.
Just point him out.
And then, of course, we, the proactive parent, meaning that we would want the child to be protected who bit our child, but then our child to be protected. We then would do the investigative thing and then call the parents, and then, of course, they won't answer.
Yeah, exactly. You know what's interesting about this story with the kid doing this on the bus, which is, it's laughable. They named the kid. They named him.
Yeah, that's what it could ruin his reputation. It could go either way, actually. He could be really notorious for this and
right.
Have a great reputation, have 90,000 hits like the Plankton whatever guy. That's ridiculous. That's weird.
That's crazy. Hey, I got to run.
I know. I'm so excited to listen, so I can't wait to just hang on here and listen. So I will talk to you later, Rob.
We'll have to have you in the studio sometime.
That would be fun.
Okay. Well, sounds great. I will talk to you very soon. We have an interview with Drew Maris coming up, and you're more than welcome to participate. And that as well.
Awesome. I can't wait to listen. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Catch you later. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. That was Brenda calling in from Delaware. I appreciate very much her calling in because it's very cool having people give a call. And don't mind me, I'm just doing some technical jargon here. I have some people calling in from Delaware. I'm very happy about that. What we got to do is we got to take a break real quick. We got to do a top of the hour thing. So we have a gentleman by the name of Drew Maris. He's coming up after the top of the hour here. He's going to be talking about his book, Open Your Eyes to 2012 and Beyond. I am, you know me, I'm the paranormal guy, and I'm very much looking forward to this interview. So stay tuned. If you want to give us a call during the interview, feel free to do so. 610-701-WCHE, 610-701-9243. If you're listening, like if you're not listening online like Brenda was, and you're listening in the air and you're in Westchester or Philadelphia or down towards Delaware or anywhere across the Fruited Plain, you can listen via the internet, www.WCHE1520.com. You'll get as clear as a bell. Very clear, very clear. So what I want to do is take a break real quick. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to 1520 AM WCHE Westchester. Heard worldwide at WCHE1520.com. The rainy